Good morning. Nick Scrip here on the Fantrax Twitter and YouTube channel. We have 6 weeks until the NFL starts. Super excited for the season. As always, here grinding out content at Fantrax. We have an awesome podcast here for you today, talking 32 sleepers from all 32 NFL teams. Share this with your home league. Share it with your buddies. Let's get it. Right. So this was actually an article on the Fantrax website. You can go check that out. You can just Google Nick Scrip, 32 teams, 32 sleepers. What was a sleeper? And to define what I mean by a sleeper, it's a player that's draft cost is outweighed by its actual fantasy production. So typically going later in drafts or somewhere in the middle of the draft, and I'm saying that their fantasy football production will outweigh what their draft cost is. Some examples from last year, Ramondre Stevenson, he was drafted as the running back 36. He finished as the running back 10. So he went pretty late in drafts, paid off big time. Geno Smith, quarterback 35 prior to last season, finished as the quarterback 8. Zay Jones, another one that was a late round pick, one of the best last year. Wide receiver 87 he was drafted as. And then he finished as the wide receiver 31. So obviously these guys were values, again, based off of what their fantasy production was and how it outweighed the cost. So we'll kick things off, try to fly through these because, you know, 32 players to talk about. But the Cardinals, Trey McBride, a big pass-catching profile as a prospect. His final season at Colorado State, he caught 90 balls for 1,121 receiving yards. Big-time production. That's like a wide receiver production. From last year, sat mostly behind Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is a cut candidate, I think, if he wasn't already. I haven't checked back in on that news, but he has been recovering from a big injury. We're unsure what's up with Kyler Murray, what his timeline is going to be. Marquise Brown should be the target leader there. The second role, though, is up in the air. Is it Rondale Moore? Is it Greg Dortch? Is it rookie Michael Wilson? I think McBride has a shot at consistent volume, which potentially could be high on a Cardinals team that's probably going to be forced to throw the ball a lot in a projected struggle in 2023. With the Falcons, Tyler Allgeier last season broke the Falcons' single-season record for rookie rushing yards with over 1,000 yards. He had three performances as a top 12 fantasy running back in his final four games with games of 139 and 135 rushing yards. So he was running the ball fairly well to cap off the Falcons' a season as a rookie. And obviously Bijan Robinson comes in, eighth overall pick. But I think if we're looking at handcuffs, I look at this situation. Why do people not project that the Falcons are going to be somewhat of a committee since Allgeier was good last year? But I think you invest an eighth overall pick in one of the best prospects in a long time. And it's an offense that probably can run through Bijan Robinson. I know they have other first-round picks in Kyle Pitts and Drake London. They want to give Desmond Ridder a shot, and they let him throw the ball a decent amount last season. But this offense probably is going to be very focused on Bijan Robinson. So I think Tyler Allgeier is a handcuff, but I think he's one of the better handcuffs, and I don't think that's discussed enough. So I think that makes him a sleeper because if we want to, you know, go and roster these handcuffs that could be good should they get a role, I think Tyler Allgeier is one of the top guys on that list with the Elijah Mitchells of the world. The Ravens, Zay Flowers. So I think he will end up still being a value in redrafts. You know, I think when we say Zay Flowers, a lot of us put our dynasty caps on and start thinking dynasty and say he's not a sleeper. You know, he's getting hyped up, but he's not going to be drafted as a top 30 pick, I don't think, in redraft. So I think he could become a value. I think I didn't mark what his ADP currently was, but 22nd overall pick, obviously that means he's probably pretty good. It's a polarizing situation just because we don't know, you know, beyond Mark Andrews, where the targets are going to go. We got Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham Jr., and Zay Flowers. You know, Flowers totaled over 3,000 receiving yards at Boston College And in 2022, had 1,077 yards, 12 touchdowns. He's a guy that's got 4.42 speed, high acceleration. There's some rushing potential. He rushed the ball his freshman season. Athletic movements. He seems very dynamic. And I think with Flowers, if Baltimore wanted to get creative with somebody, I don't think they're going to be super creative with Mark Andrews. I don't think they're going to be super creative with Odell Beckham Jr. Rashad Bateman, probably not as much as they can be with Zay Flowers. And he's smoking camp right now. We saw the report that said he was the best player in that wide receiver room so far in camp. And I don't think that's necessarily smoke. Buffalo Bills, Damian Harris. There's been some other reports that came out about James Cook and Buffalo wanting him to be, you know, a three down back. There's also always the potential that tomorrow they go in and sign Zeke or Jonathan Taylor, maybe. If you know, or not sign, but trade for him, if that's even a thing. So Leonard Fournette's still floating out there. We're not sure where some of these free agents are going to go, but as the roster looks today, James Cook, Damian Harris. We look at Devin Singletary last season, vacates 178 rushing attempts and 40 red zone touches. So that's what stands out to me, because back in 2021, Damian Harris rushed for 929 yards and had 15 touchdowns in that season. So that was through 15 games. We've seen the red zone usage of Damian Harris in the Patriots offense. And now we shifted over last season. Damian Harris missed some time. Ramondre Stevenson took over. We look at Buffalo, and Devin Singletary was used there a decent amount. And we've seen historically Harris be good in the red zone. So 2+2, we have a great offense that's going to be in scoring positions pretty often. And now we have a guy that's been in those positions somewhere else. I think he can be fantasy relevant. You know, we're looking for that next Jamal Williams. Could it be Damian Harris? Carolina, I'm going to go DJ Chark. Last season, he flashed. He had games 98, 94, 108 receiving yards. He was banged up per Chark usual. This guy's had 1,000 yards under his belt, though, back in 2019, the one season that seemed like almost the full season for DJ Chark. Bryce Young is going to be the quarterback, obviously, rookie quarterback. That means everybody is starting from scratch when it comes to connections. But if you look at this team, it's scratch anyways, because Adam Thielen's new. DJ Chark's new. Jonathan Mingo was drafted. They brought in Hayden Hurst. I think it's wide open for where targets are going to go. And if I'm looking for a fantasy option, I think I look at a guy who's shown me receiving yard upside, a guy that has had a very fantasy relevant top 20 season in points per game. I know, you know, 2019 wasn't yesterday, but at least we've seen it before. And I think people forget that he's only 26 years old. Chicago, Darnell Mooney, who looks like swole right now. In 2020 as a rookie, 61 catches for 631 receiving yards. That was a pleasant surprise based off of his draft capital. The next year, though, over 1,000 receiving yards. Finished as the wide receiver 27 in fantasy points per game. Mooney was a top 15 wide receiver in targets, target share, air yards, deep targets, and was number 18 in yards after the catch in that season. In 2022, though, played just 12 games with a struggling Chicago offense. We look to 2023. DJ Moore has been added to the team. He should be the number one target. The number two role is wide open. Is it Darnell Mooney? Is it Cole Kmet? Is it Chase Claypool? Is that role going to kind of shift around? I think people want to look at Chicago's offense and relate it too much to last and look at the low passing volume, and they don't look at Justin Fields' profile at Ohio State as a passer. They don't look at the fact that the O-line was terrible and was improved in this offseason. They don't look at the fact that the only wide receivers that played over 12 games was Equanimeous St. Brown and Dante Pettis. They don't look at the fact that Chicago earned the first overall pick. It was a year that they lost a lot of games. They had 8-1 score games too. So this team should pass the ball more. I like Justin Fields as a passer. I know he has to prove it in the NFL, but he had it, you know, as a prospect. And I think Darnell Mooney has shown us a season of being very fantasy relevant. You know, Chase Claypool, reports have not been super positive on him. Could he be the guy that I should be speaking about? Maybe, but at least Darnell Mooney recently has shown us a pretty good season. Cincinnati, Tyler Boyd. I think I like to throw his name out there just because if there ever was a such thing as a wide receiver handcuff, he'd be one of the first guys that comes to mind. I mean, if Tyler Boyd was in Houston or in Carolina, I think we would be talking much more about him. He's sitting behind, obviously, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. And despite a down 2022, Boyd did post five top 30 weeks and two top 12 weeks for the wide receiver position in fantasy scoring this past season. He's earned 83, 94, 110, 147, and 108 targets the last five seasons. And with Joe Burrow throwing the ball 610 times last season, I feel like that's encouraging for Tyler Boyd at least to be a deeper flex option. Maybe it's better for best ball, but still, if we're trying to find guys that are in high passing offenses with, you know, good quarterbacks, I think we can look to Tyler Boyd as somebody that we can, you know, leave at the end of our bench and just kind of see if targets are being consistent towards him, or maybe we're like stashing him. Cleveland, love Elijah Moore. I've always been in. I've been in since he's been a prospect at Ole Miss. His last season at Ole Miss, I think he averaged like 10 catches a game. The guy was unbelievable, had a great season. Rookie year, he scored 20-plus fantasy points in 3 weeks with four different Jets quarterbacks. He averaged 17.7 fantasy points per game week 7 through 13. I don't think that was fluky. You can say, you know, was guided by this, or he was one of the, you know, the only guys that was in that offense that, you know, could handle the volume at the time. But we've seen him, you know, we've seen the production as a prospect. We've seen the production as a rookie. 2022 was the falling out with the Jets. So I, you know, is it a scapegoat to say, let's scratch it? Maybe, but I see great things in the past, and now I see good things in the future with Deshaun Watson. It's going to be the best quarterback he's ever played with, and one of the better ones in the league. I expect him to be the number two target behind Amari Cooper in an offense that wants to throw the ball more in 2023. So I like Elijah Moore a lot. Brandon Cooks, you know, I'll be very curious to see what his ADP will be like. Maybe he doesn't qualify as a sleeper. I think he still can, because historically Brandon Cooks has been a guy that has been a value in fantasy football drafts. And 2022 was disappointing, but Houston was terrible in general. I think Davis Mills got benched throughout the season. Cooks has had a very productive career in general. Six seasons of 114-plus targets, six seasons over 1,000 yards, six seasons as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver in points per game. Dak Prescott, back in 2021, his healthy season, threw the ball 37.3 times per game. That shows good volume in Dallas, which is a good offense. Historically slept on. I bet that's the case for Cooks in 2023, who could be minimally a solid flex pick. Denver, you know, I listed Samaje Perine. There's been a lot of positive Javonte Williams reports that came out. He's practicing. We've seen the clips of him running. Samaje Perine filling in for Mixon last season finished weeks 11 through 13 as the running back 2, running back 10, and running back 3 in fantasy scoring. Career high 38 catches in 2022. That kind of just shows what he could do. Is Javonte Williams healthy enough to command, you know, a majority of the work to where Perine is just a handcuff? Maybe. Do they give Perine the pass catching role and say, hey, let's get Javonte back on the field rushing the ball, but let's not, like, you know, give him 20 touches a game? Then maybe he could be, you know, a late round running back target. I think he's just shown us last season, again, the pass catching upside, the potential of, hey, like, if the guy goes down, I could probably give you a few good weeks. And in that case, I think he could be a sleeper. Sam Laporta for the Detroit Lions. Obviously, you're going to hear all the rookie tight end narratives, and I'm sure the data backs that at some point. But second-round pick out of Iowa, second tight end off the board. He caught 53 and 58 passes for 670 and 657 receiving yards in his final two college seasons. That shows a pass-catching profile. And Jameson Williams suspended for six games. You have guys like Marvin Jones Jr., Khalif Raymond, Josh Reynolds, like a bunch of guys, right? It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. and then the next roll is up for grabs. So when I see that, I see, hey, the guy had a pass-catching profile. He drew pretty good draft capital to Detroit. He has the skill set. Could he be a guy that sees consistent volume at least for 6 weeks with Jameson Williams out of the picture, if not more? Because I think there was a report that he was dealing with something. Green Bay Packers, Jaden Reed. So a guy that I targeted everywhere in rookie drafts. And it seemed like he was getting the hype. And then it seemed like afterwards it was Romeo Dubs or Dobbs who was getting more of the attention. And people want to play, you know, those narratives, I think, more than, hey, Jaden Reed looked pretty good. Second round draft capital, could play in the slot. But they go, you know, and revert back to the hype from last year and some of the camp hype from Romeo. But I think with Jaden Reed, and I've seen positive news come out of him recently in him, you know, operating the slot and then, you know, maybe putting him out wide a little bit. Michigan State, 1,036 yard and 10 touchdown season back in 2021. I think he could be a guy that just comes in and starts day one for Green Bay. And again, Jordan Love needs to establish connections. The assumption is that Christian Watson is going to be the wide receiver one. Does Christian Watson, though, have a profile to where he's used to high passing volume? I don't think that is the case necessarily. Is Christian Watson a guy that we expect to see 10 targets a game and then everybody else kind of just gets whatever's left? Not sure that's the case. 217 targets are vacated in Green Bay. And Jaden Reed, if he performs well in the slot, I think he could be a decent option for Jordan Love and produce potential flex value in 2023. Houston, I'm going to go with Nico Collins. So Brandon Cooks has been the target leader the last two seasons. Obviously, we talked about him now in Dallas. It's wide open. Is it Nico Collins? Is it Robert Woods? Is it Dalton Schultz? Is it John Mechie? Is it Tank Dell? I think it's anybody's role to take on as like the target leader. But I think we can kind of differentiate the target leader and, you know, the safe option and the option with upside. And I think if we're looking for upside, I'm going to go with the 6'4 guy. Weeks 10 through 13 last season, he saw 10, 7, 9, and 10 targets. So he was seeing pretty good target volume for a handful of weeks before he got banged up. That was disappointing because we're like, hey, Nico's getting looked at a lot in this offense. So he's a guy that can stretch the field a bit, make some bigger plays, you know, wide receiver room's up for grabs. Hot take, it could be Dalton Schultz that leads the team in targets. It could be. But I think I'm going to go with the upside play in Nico Collins. Got a comment in here, my buddy John McGlynn. We all want to hear about Colts running back one, Zach Moss. So won't dive super deep into it, and I have a different guy for the Colts. But Jonathan Taylor requesting a trade. Pretty sure the organization said, like, we're not doing that, which maybe that's it, and that's all we need to know at the end of the day. I think the Colts – I don't think they trade him, in all honesty. I think they try to sort it out internally. In the world that they do trade Jonathan Taylor, I think we have to remember that they can also like go and grab Lombardi Lenny for a year, Ezekiel Elliott for a year, Kareem Hunt. They can go and probably grab one of those guys on a one-year deal. I think they do that before they'd roll with Zach Moss, who actually looked pretty decent last season. Deion Jackson, you know, guys we've seen flashes of, but I think that they would end up making a move like that. Or if they trade him, you know, do they trade him for, I'm not going to even spit out names, but do they trade him for another running back in a running back room elsewhere in that deal, plus like a bunch of, you know, draft capital or something like that. So I'll go straight into the Colts. I mean, that's who we're talking about. So let's go straight into the Colts, and I'll go with Alec Pierce. I think Josh Downs has been the guy that got a lot of hype because he's the new guy in the system. And, you know, out of North Carolina, he drew third round draft capital. But I think people forget that in 2022, Alec Pierce drew second round draft capital. And we saw Pierce have a 78 target season last year. And I think that was something that not a lot of people have talked about too often. I think 78, you know, targets for the rookie was not a bad mark his first year in that offense. He was 7 yards shy of 600 receiving yards, too. He flashed with a top 15 wide receiver performance in week 13 against Dallas. I'm not sure if the passing volume in Indianapolis is ever going to be, you know, massive to the fact, you know, to the extent that, you know, whoever is next to Michael Pittman Jr., who's the next guy in the offense, is going to still be seeing like high target volume, especially with Anthony Richardson, who probably is going to be developing as a passer and also will run the ball a bit. But I think that wide receiver two role is wide open. And Alec Pierce, second round draft capital, saw 78 targets last year. I think it's his role before it's Josh Downs' role. And I think that's something that can make him a value. The Jaguars Tank Bigsby drafted in the third round. Doug Peterson, head coach, verbalized wanting to use more running backs and that more running backs needed to touch the ball in 2023 beyond Travis Etienne. And in Tank's final two seasons at Auburn, he finished with 1,099 and 970 rushing yards, 21 and 30 receptions, over 1,100 total scrimmage yards in both 2021 and 2022. In a recent report, I think it was a few weeks back, noted that Tank Bigsby has shown promising pass-catching ability. So in either the event that Bigsby is just a handcuff or he's a committee back, I think he is, you know, is valuable to roster in fantasy football because, for one, if he is a handcuff, it's a good offense. Jacksonville was good last season. I think they got better in the offseason. Obviously, you got Calvin Ridley now in the system. You know, that's a handcuff. Or should he be a committee back? That's another good situation. Maybe he takes some of the pass catching there. Maybe he can snipe some touchdowns. Kansas City, Jerick McKinnon. They brought him back after career bests in receptions, receiving yards, and total touchdowns, 56 for 5, 12, and 10. That's a pretty good stat line. That resulted in him being the running back 26 in fantasy points per game. I think that is just the prime example of a guy that paid off of what he cost in drafts last year versus what the production ended up being. In weeks 14 and 15 last season, he added running back 7 performance. He was the overall running back 1 weeks 14 and 15 last season, and the running back 7 in week 17. So he was like putting up big days, days that weeks 14 and 15 are really helping you in the fantasy playoffs. He played 65% and 55% of the snaps in 2 of the 3 playoff games. So in their biggest games of the season, he was playing a majority of the snaps. And I think for a guy that, you know, has the receiving and touchdown upside in one of the best offenses in the NFL, should he have close to the role that he finished with, McKinnon is going to be, once again, a big value. Mike Williams, another guy, I want to see what his ADP is going to look like, because I think the more camp clips we see of Quentin Johnston, I think the more we see Mike Williams be a value at the end of the day. You know, Austin Eckler's coming off of a phenomenal year. Keenan Allen finished the season super strong, and he should be the number one target. But I think the combination of, like, they drafted Quentin Johnston, Austin Eckler's the number one guy. Austin Eckler had a great season. Keenan Allen's the number one guy. I think it's going to make Mike Williams a value at the end of the day. He played in 11 games last season, above 50% of the snaps. And in 6 of those 11 games, he finished as a top 15 wide receiver in fantasy scoring. So again, one more time, Mike Williams played in 11 games last season, above 50% of the snaps. In 6 of those 11 games, he finished as a top 15 wide receiver. He's been top 20 in fantasy points per game in back-to-back seasons as well. Herbert, for 2 years in a row, has had the second most passing attempts in the NFL. So the passing volume is there. Mike Williams, when healthy, has shown us production. He's shown us upside. I think he could be a solid flex play. I think there is a more realistic chance that he is the better option than Quentin Johnston. And that could be something that's clipped and made fun of later. But as of right now, I feel that way. The LA Rams, Tyler Higbee, career season in targets with 108, receptions 72. And that's with Matthew Stafford only playing in 9 games. The year prior, Higbee saw 85 targets with Stafford. We want volume for tight ends, and he's seen it the last 2 seasons. For 2023, I think he can still operate as the second option behind Cooper Kupp. I know a lot of people are hyping up the rookie Puka. You know, is it finally Van Jefferson's time? Or is it just Tyler Higbee still? And if that's the case, late round tight end. Las Vegas Raiders, Jakobi Meyers, 2022 and 2021, he earned 6.8 and 7.4 targets per game in New England. After scoring two total touchdowns from 2019 through 2021, he scored six last season. So he took a big jump in that category. Career high 12.9 fantasy points per game last season. He now should operate with Devontae Adams. He's never had a Devontae Adams in his system. So that's truly a transition for him to make, I guess, at the end of the day. Going from Mac Jones to Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think is a bad thing necessarily. He should be the number two target in the offense. And I think that at the end of the day, that could mean flex potential. I don't think he's the most upside wide receiver, but he's a guy that's handled volume well the last 2 years. And I think he's a guy that does a good job getting open, making his simple plays. Miami. So I'm going to go Jeff Wilson Jr. You know, first came the hype of Devin Achane, the rookie. Next came Dalvin Cook potentially signing there. I think there's still the chance that Dalvin Cook is there. There's the chance that Jonathan Taylor gets traded there. There's the chance that Zeke is there. But as the room stands, if it's Achane, Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, I think that, you know, we look at this running back room and most people have faded completely Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. Wilson had 14 opportunities in the Dolphins' lone playoff game last season. He scored a touchdown in one of those playoff games. 860 rushing yards was a career best last season. And he's always felt like a guy that has a nose for the end zone and can score. So should the team not add anybody, I think there's a chance that he could touch the ball the most at the end of the day. And that's something that can truly pay off in fantasy drafts. Jordan Addison for the Minnesota Vikings. Another case here. I'm calling out a guy that's a first round draft selection, and people would say, you know, how unhot of a take is that? But looking at redraft right now, he's being drafted, or he was at the time of the article I made, was being drafted as the wide receiver 39. I think that could end up meaning, you know, if he finishes inside the top 30, right inside the top 30 or at wide receiver 30, that's still technically a guy that pays off versus what his cost is. Obviously, you know, there's concerns with Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson and the volume that's going to be there for those guys. Adam Thielen did average 6.3 targets per game in 2022. Addison is a guy that's had a massive season though in college. Back in 2021 at Pitt, he caught 100 passes for 1,593 receiving yards and 17 touchdowns. His numbers trended down the next season at USC, but this is a guy that is extremely talented. I think he's a guy that can make plays at all three levels of the field. And seeing that Kirk Cousins had a career season last year in passing attempts with 643, I think it's encouraging. He's also drawn some comps to Tyler Lockett and Deontay Johnson from different sites. I think Jordan Addison is a guy that can truly pay off in 2023. New England, Mike Gesicki. So Gesicki is one of my favorite sleepers this year in general. He had a terrible 2022, but it made sense because Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle accounted for 51.06% of the team's total targets. So whoever number three was going to be at the end of the day, it was not going to be enough. He's had two seasons over 700 receiving yards and three seasons of 85-plus targets. Head coach Bill Belichick has previously complimented the pass-catching abilities of Mike Gesicki in the past as he has played against him before. And we're looking at a wide receiver room featuring Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton, Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne. It's fairly weak. So this is a system in the past historically that we've seen highly utilize a tight end position. You have a head coach that likes Mike Gesicki, and you have a guy that has a pass-catching resume in the NFL. So I think he could be a value big time in drafts. The Saints, I listed Rashid Shaheed. Chris Olave balled out as a rookie. Michael Thomas could finally be healthy. But I think we have to factor in that Michael Thomas has only played in, 10 games the last 2 years. Derek Carr should be an upgrade for the offense in general. Shaheed flashed last season with three games of 75-plus receiving yards, along with three top 30 fantasy weeks for the position. 14.35 yards per target and 17.43 yards per catch are very impressive marks for a guy in his rookie season at the NFL level. I think his role is probably going to be, you know, going to be inconsistent, but I think if we're in a deeper league and we're looking for a home run hit, maybe Shaheed is that in a deeper league. You know, if Michael Thomas gets banged up, I think the opportunity is there for him to be the second wide receiver in the offense. So again, I talked about Tyler Boyd and the potential wide receiver handcuff. Maybe that's Rashid Shaheed. The Giants, Darius Slayton. So Darren Waller is the newcomer that I think will be the only solidified role that anybody will be willing to put their stamp on in this Giants offense. Wandale Robinson and Sterling Shepard are coming off of injuries. Paris Campbell has had a pretty banged up career, and you know his role is unknown as a newcomer. Jalin Hyatt is a rookie wide receiver drafted in the third round. You know, what's his timeline to, you know, being sorted out with the NFL expectations and playbook? Isaiah Hodgins, it took 10 weeks last season for him to see snaps. I know a lot of people will list Isaiah Hodgins as the guy here, and he had a good season, you know, when he was involved. But again, it took him 10 weeks to get involved. Last season, Slayton finished with 724 receiving yards with five games of 79-plus receiving yards. So 724 total, five games of 79-plus receiving yard days. Slayton also finishes as a top 25 wide receiver for fantasy, scoring in five weeks. So there was 5 weeks where he was a top 25 option for the position. So that was obviously flex potential there. So with the wide receiver room being polarizing, him showing us receiving yard upside, him showing us some pretty decent weeks last year, I think Darius Slayton could be a target maybe in deeper leagues. I've been saying this, and some people have also been saying this recently, but I put this out in the article when it first came out. But Corey Davis, I think it's more of a hot take here, but I think he could be the wide receiver two behind Garrett Wilson. I truly think that. And I think everybody assumes because Alan Lazard had a previous connection with Aaron Rodgers that he automatically gets that job. But I think Corey Davis is probably a better football player when healthy than Alan Lazard as a pass-catching wide receiver. 2017 was a long time ago, but he was selected as the fifth overall pick in that draft. So obviously a guy that's had a very talented background. He's battled injuries. I don't think that means that he's a bad football player though, because he's battled injuries. So Davis, he's had seasons of 984 and 891 receiving yards on his profile, on his, you know, resume. Wide receiver 32 and wide receiver 33 in fantasy points per game in those specific years. So it's a deeper dart throw. We have to see him be healthy, obviously, but I think he has been a guy that is talented. I think he's been a guy that's shown us some big receiving seasons or decent receiving seasons. I think he's been a guy that's been a top 35 option in fantasy points per game scoring. And if he's healthy, you know, we've seen the clips recently of him making some good plays. I think the Jets want to win. I think Aaron Rodgers wants to win. So just because Alan Lazard has had a connection with Rodgers in the past, I don't think that means automatically that, you know, he's the next guy in line behind Garrett Wilson. For the Eagles, Rashad Penny, you know, I am a huge DeAndre Swift truther. I think that he leads the team in total touches. I still believe that. But I do think Penny will have a decent role in 2023. 151 rushing yards in week four of 2022. 135-plus rushing yards in weeks 14, 16, 17, and 18 of 2021. When healthy, we've seen the massive rushing yard gains out of Rashad Penny. But that's the asterisk. It's the when healthy. If we're going to knock DeAndre Swift for not being healthy, we have to completely knock Rashad Penny because he's been far worse throughout his career. Eagles being one of the best offenses in the NFL, having a shared role in that backfield, I see some upside for fantasy. Will it be consistent? I'm not entirely sure. But if you fade running backs in your fantasy football draft, I think Rashad is a guy you should roster. The Steelers, George Pickens. If we are going to talk about somebody polarizing, George Pickens is polarizing at the end of the day. It just is what it is. I think some people are high on the potential for a breakout. I think other people are fading just because of inconsistencies. And, you know, his target volume is probably not going to be super consistent. the upside metrics were there last season. Number three in the average depth of his targets, number seven in deep targets, number 19 in air yards. Those numbers show the potential for flex weeks. You know, it probably screams best ball more than it does consistency for redraft. But I think when we look for flex shot, you know, options, we're not looking for the guy that's going to start in our, you know, our wide receiver two role every single week. I think we're looking for somebody that we can plug in that can give us a little bit more upside, whereas the other pieces in our starting lineup for fantasy are probably more stable, I guess, if that's the right word to use. The Seahawks, I'll go Geno Smith. Career turnaround in 2022, he was top 10 in passing attempts, passing yards, yards per attempt, passing touchdowns, quarterback rating, and fantasy points per game. Amazing season. He is the definition of what this whole podcast is about at the end of the day. What was the fantasy production and how much did it outweigh the cost? I mean, the cost, he had to be undrafted in redraft. Both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf finished with over 1,000 receiving yards last season. Geno Smith's accuracy metrics were awesome. Not only did he get paid this season, but he got paid in weapons because, you know, they had Tyler Lockett, they had DK Metcalf, and then they go and say, hey, you know, let's go get the best wide receiver in this year's NFL draft and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And let's not stop there. Let's go and get Zach Charbonnet, who is a pass-catching running back. So not only did he get the bag this offseason, Geno Smith, but he also has JSN and Zach Charbonnet added to DK and Tyler Lockett. I think Geno is probably not a guy that's going to win you your fantasy football weeks in the way that, you know, Lamar Jackson can. But if we wait on quarterback and select Geno Smith, I think he will be very competent. And I think he'll be a guy that can be pretty consistent in his fantasy scoring. I mean, he had a great season and this team got better. The 49ers, Elijah Mitchell, as a rookie, he stacked up 1,326 yards and 7 touchdowns through the regular season and postseason in 14 games. So 1,326 and 14, pretty good. In 2022, when Christian McCaffrey and Mitchell both played, McCaffrey outrushed Mitchell only 67 to 62. So they were close in the amount of time they were touching the ball on the ground. Averaging 15 fantasy points per game and rushing for 963 yards as a rookie is enough for me to list Elijah Mitchell as a sleeper here because I think that he is one of, if not the best, handcuffs to roster in fantasy football. Tampa Bay, Rashad White, as of today, should be the running back one. Again, could they go and add somebody? Could they trade for somebody? We're not sure. You know, that's why we have to adjust and pivot every single week in fantasy football up into the start of the season. Leonard Fournette obviously not set to return. As a rookie, he still caught 50 balls, even though Leonard Fournette caught 73. That was top 12 for the running back position when it comes to receptions. White finished top 15 for the position weeks 12, 13, and 16 as well. If Tampa Bay struggles in 2023, which they might, you know, Tom Brady retired, now it's Baker Mayfield, could be a productive struggle. I still think having a guy that's going to touch the ball a lot and can do it through the air can be very valuable in fantasy football. So unless they sign a veteran, I know we're going to hear, you know, Sean Tucker hype and Keyshawn Vaughn, and I think Chase Edmonds is there, but I won't speak of his name ever again. Rashad White still should be the guy. He's a pass-catching running back, and we love that for PPR leagues. Two more guys here. Treylon Burks, DeAndre Hopkins signing is going to probably make him more of a value in 2023 drafts. Burks was first-round selection in 2022. He had flashes a little bit as a rookie last year. Weeks 11 and 12, he finished with 111 and 70 receiving yards, respectively, with 18.1 and 17 fantasy points in those games. I think the Titans manufactured some work for Treylon Burks, which is what he's used to back at Arkansas. Ryan Tannehill threw the ball 531 times in 2021, which was top 12 for quarterbacks. I think everybody looks at Tennessee and they say, hey, you know, they're so focused on, you know, the run and they don't throw the ball a lot. But if in 2021, when he was healthy, Tannehill threw the ball top 12 at a top 12 rate, I think that's decent volume at the end of the day. And I think that DeAndre Hopkins should be the number one guy there in targets. But I think Treylon Burks could still be valuable should he stay healthy and should he develop. We've seen, again, camp clips of him looking good, burning guys, not being thrown catchable passes, but I think there's the potential for him. Last guy, one of my favorite sleepers on the list, Jahan Dotson. You know, loved him as a prospect. 91 catches for 1,182 receiving yards with 12 touchdowns in that final Penn State season in 2021 that drew first-round draft capital. He was drafted in the first round by the Commanders in 2022. Missed a chunk of time in his rookie season, but if you look at the games he played, 70% plus of the snaps, he averaged 14.03 fantasy points per game. Dotson has 4.43 speed, catch and run ability. He has a volume profile. He's a zone beater, great hands. He's talented. I believe in the talent. You know, I talk about Elijah Moore. I believe in the talent. I talk about Jahan Dotson. I believe in the talent. How him and Sam Howell mesh, that's going to be an indicator of how well he does for fantasy football. How Sam Howell does as a quarterback is probably going to be an indicator of how Jahan Dotson does is a sophomore in the NFL. But again, buying into the talent, buying in the, you know, into the opportunity that he will see consistent volume in this Commander's offense. Love Jahan Dotson is a player. Think he's got a nice opportunity here in 2023. So thank you guys for tuning into the stream. Make sure you are following the Fantrax page wherever you have seen this. And we are grinding a ton. The writing team has just been absolutely getting after it in the offseason. Tons of content in different forms coming out on all of these socials. We're here to help you guys play to win here at Fantrax. And thank you guys for tuning in. We got 6 weeks. We're almost at the season. Let's get it.